Second World War. So the system got put in place in 1948, and it started to come under sort of systematic philosophical attack, if you like, supporting a privatisation narrative from the 1980s. And since then, we've seen subtle reshapings, which haven't really been properly explained, but each of them has been devoted to opening up the budget for access to commercial parties, really, and very often the same commercial parties, interestingly, that run the US healthcare system.
I think it's been a 30-year plan to privatise the NHS. I think it's been, again, a slow burner with different parties. Even Labour really can't exclude itself.
Labour signed off many private finance initiative deals to fund new hospitals using private money, which the deals were at very high interest rates, which are actually currently crippling many NHS hospitals.
The previous government, and particularly under Blair, did introduce some market mechanisms. They were really trying to shake up the public service providers.
Before the Labour government under Margaret Thatcher, she had actually invited a senior American health specialist to be her special advisor on healthcare. And even then, he was advising her how you could start to privatise aspects of the NHS. So it does go back about 30 years, but Margaret Thatcher never dared to do it. She knew how precious the National Health Service was, and she just felt it was one thing that even she couldn't touch. And even Labour, although they did a lot of harmful things, were still tinkering around the edges. It took this current Conservative Lib Dem coalition government to come into power to really start the process of dismantling the National Health Service.
The NHS is the last major service in public hands. Royal Mail, British Gas and British Rail are three examples of major public services that have been privatised since the 1980s. The railways are a contentious issue in Britain today. Prices go up and up in leaps and bounds, but the quality of the service does not. Kat Hobbs is the founder of campaign group We Own It, who lobby for the tide of privatisation to be reversed.
So in terms of train privatisation, basically what we've seen is that train tickets have gone up by 22% in real terms since the railway was privatised. So people are paying more for their train tickets, but they're not really seeing a better service. So we know that the average age of trains now is actually older than it was in 1996. We're not seeing that much improvement really, and yet we're all paying a lot more. And a study showed that we're actually spending 1.2 billion extra every year on our railways because of privatisation. So that money could be put back into improving services, reducing fares, making the network work better for all of us, but instead that money is just being siphoned off.
The public are tired of endless rises in ticket prices, and it isn't difficult to find people on the street complaining about the train service and the cost.
Typical privatised business will say, okay, more people, less carriages, less assets to use, less money invested, more profit. So just the major delays and overcrowding. There's not enough coaches on the train, so people end up standing around in aisles, you can't get past, the trains are late, and yeah, just terrible really.
It doesn't seem to me that having a privatised rail company where they're all competing against each other actually does help the public, because there's no integration, there's no nothing's joined up.
I think it's gone up by about, say, the last few years, almost doubled what I used to pay, but the service has got worse. So I don't mind paying more if it got better and if I got a seat, right? But it's gone up by twice as much almost in the last 4 or 5 years, and it just got worse.
Well, the biggest complaint would be that you never know how much a journey is going to cost you, and you don't know how to get the fairest price. I used to travel to London regularly and get my tickets for under a fiver because I could go on the website and book them in advance. If you can't book in advance, you can pay £35, £40 for the same journey, which just seems really unfair.
In 2009, National Express East Coast hit financial trouble and had to give up its rail routes. The government was left with little choice but to re-nationalise these routes. This arrangement lasted for over 4 years and turned out to be surprisingly profitable. The nationalised company took less money from the government than the private rail companies and still made a substantial profit.
The government is led by ideology on this. So we know, for example, that the East Coast Railway is working really well in public hands. It's returned £1 billion to the Treasury, and that money can be used to improve train services or improve public services in general. But the government is reprivatising East Coast Rail, even though people don't want that, even though the service is working well in public ownership. It's reprivatising the line because of ideology. There isn't really a market in railways. So if I want to travel on a train from Oxford to London, there's only one train line I can take, there's only one route, and I don't get any choice about that. So there's this idea of a market in rail that doesn't actually correspond to reality and what train passengers actually, the choices that they actually have.
The effects of privatisations like this are not abstract concepts. They should not be viewed only as profit and loss on a financial ledger. They can have drastic effects on ordinary people.
I've had to change my lifestyle. I've had to stop working in London and try and find work more locally because it was ridiculous trying to get in and out. And the cost of the tickets was just getting ridiculous. So I don't work in London anymore. It means I've had to take a different career path, really, because travel just made the travel arrangements I had to make and the money I had to spend on it just made it unsustainable. So my professional life is now changed direction completely.
Countless voices have been raised in complaint over the last several decades, but no solution for the problems of the railways is forthcoming. The idea of renationalising the rail system has not been seriously backed by any mainstream political force in the UK. So what chance is there that this could be about to change? Could the railways be taken out of private hands and returned to the public sector?
Well, the Labour position is that it wants to legislate to allow public sector bids for rail franchises. That's a start, but really Labour needs to be asking for public ownership of the whole network. We know that privatisation has failed. We know that 66% of people want to see the railways in public ownership. So Labour actually, and all political parties, need to take a stand for full public ownership of the rail network. It makes sense.
Spiralling costs and the false promise of choice have been features of the railway privatisation of the early 90s. These match some of the predictions given by critics of the recent health reforms. Healthcare and trains are obviously very different services, but it would be foolish not to observe all of the lessons offered by history when making such a drastic change to privatising the NHS. The most recent privatisation in the UK has been the selling of the Royal Mail. It was dogged by accusations that the government set the price incorrectly and could have sold shares at a higher price and made more money for the state.
Royal Mail, when it was privatised, was a very profitable business, working well in public hands. So it was making around 400 million profit a year. And that money obviously could be reinvested. The government decided to privatise Royal Mail because various reasons, maybe wanted to give some cash to some of its friends, some of the politicians' friends. Also, there's this commitment to this idea that private has to be better, even though we can see that it's not. Now, the British public know that private isn't better. They know that privatisation keeps failing us, which is why 67% of the British public did not want to see Royal Mail privatised. And what we've seen since it has been privatised is that stamp prices have indeed gone up, and the what they call the universal service obligation, which is the idea that you get your letters and your parcels delivered 6 days a week, wherever you live in the country, that is under threat because of what's happened to Royal Mail.
The privatisation of the Royal Mail has provoked a similar, though less intense, reaction as the creeping privatisation of the NHS.
The shareholders are the winners and the rest of us are the losers. And unfortunately, that is the story again and again with privatisation. It's not done for the benefit of the public, which is why the public is against it. And actually, even though politicians find it very hard to take any kind of stand about this, most people want to see public services in public hands. We're fine for private companies to run lots of things and do lots of things, that's great, but let's have a mixed economy. At the moment, we're seeing everything being put into private hands, even when it's not to our benefit.
We Own It have set themselves in opposition to the tide of privatisations and are seeking to bring about change that will allow more of a public say in any future privatisation that might go on in the UK.
although it's difficult to know what to do when the Royal Mail is sold off, for example, whenever there's a contract, if we can make sure that the people who use public services are involved in knowing what's in that contract, in being able to access information about the private company's performance, in being able to have their say about what happens, then that will help. So we're campaigning for a public service users bill that would put all of us at the heart of outsourcing and privatisation and give us a say over what happens to our public services.
I find it very frustrating that you know, everyday people, we don't understand that it's our money that goes into these services and for our benefit, and that if things are privatised, so all that money just goes out of our pocket into private pockets, making a small number of people richer and leaving all of us poorer.
This long, steady course of privatisation can be taken as a sign that both of the major political parties in the UK see privatisation as the way forward for the NHS. But what do the public make of this?
Of everything that could be privatised in this country, most things were privatised pretty quickly. The very last thing to go is the NHS, because everybody understands that people value that and they didn't want to let it go. So it's been left till last. We're coming right up against the US treaty, which is the deadline for having all of our public services. The idea is that the countries which are going to be privatised, Washington likes it if the local governments do the dirty work first. So that's why the NHS is being done now, but it's being done right at the end. There has been a lot of time to put in place the same propaganda campaign that was used on our national rail services, British Rail. For many years, the budgets were kept to an absolute minimum, and a lot of bad publicity was put out by the government about the National Rail Services to make everybody think, oh, they're useless, it'll be an improvement to privatise them. And exactly the same thing has been done on the NHS.
And they clearly want to privatise the health service, which is just the wrong thing to do. I'm actually quite angry with the way that they're not covering it up, but they're not being transparent, and they're not being clear about the situation we will be in 5, 10, 15 years' time.
Like, I think the media has a lot of blame to take there, because they do make all those like just shock headlines just to get people reading, and they're actually very misleading. And if all you see is the headline on the newspaper as you're walking past on your way to work, you're not actually going to know what's going on. You're just going to get misinformation.
We hear a little bit through the news, but you really only hear the really extreme bad parts. So that may be, you know,